Good evening and welcome. From all over the country. Linda and Phil are with us on Zoom, so we welcome you too. Thanks for being here today. Looking forward to a good time of worship and presence of the Lord to be with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are so faithful and kind. Your word is true, and we can depend on it because you are faithful. Lord Jesus, you're so generous, and you gave so much so that we could receive the joy of our salvation and the promise of life eternal with you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight to break through and just surprise us with your presence. Have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. So true. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? Or a prayer concern?
Well, I'll go first.
I don't know if the Zoom folks can hear you. What can we do? Should I come with a mic or... Linda and Phil, you can hear me, but I don't think you can hear people in the congregation.
Right, unless they're close to the mic, to the computer.
Computer?
Because it's a computer mic that's picking up.
So I heard Mom. Was it Mom?
That spoke?
Yeah.
Okay, so when Dad went to Heston and was first preparing for the ministry, I remember him memorizing Deuteronomy 6, the first verses. What do you call that portion?
Yeah.
The
Shema, okay. I believe it is.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And I just think that has kind of been a foundation for all of Dad's preaching over the year, that it should be all of ourselves that we give to God. And then I was thinking how so many times he would get his sermon ready, and then he and I would sit down sometime on Saturday evening, and he would rehearse his sermon. Those were special times. And the third thing I wanted to share was, you know, Dad could put things very concisely. He usually had an answer. Like when somebody would come to me, you know, what do you believe? I'm like, you know, but Dad would put it real simply. I believe that Jesus is who he said he was. He meant what he said, and he was talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry if I made it impossible for the rest of you to talk.
I've been trying to think of what I was going to say.
I don't think Linda can be joking.
I don't think they want to hear me.
This is Carla speaking. She said she doesn't think you want to hear her. I'll try to repeat.
And all that it was is that I am who I am today because of all the years I'm teaching. Set for you.
I don't think Dad can repeat that. Carla said she is who she is today because of all of Dad's teaching.
Thank you.
You ruined me for all other pastors.
Amen.
Like no one compares to your service.
Hell yeah.
Your style and your delivery. You've just always been what everyone else aspires to be.
I was talking to Carl, and I think you have been the pastor for me for most of my adult life. So, or at least the longest pastor now since been most of our marriage, and now I'm you know, I didn't have my dad as pastor young, you know, he was an evangelist and things, so I brother Ray and my dad for, I don't know, maybe 15 years, but even 20s, 20 plus. So. And I always, just like they said, solid teaching has always been really good. And I always like the, there's certain verses I know, there's certain jokes that are coming. So, like, there's one in baseball joke, and I can't think of it right now, but I was like, oh, he's, if he says that verse, that baseball joke's coming.
In the beginning.
Yes, in the beginning.
Eve stole first.
Adam
stole home and the prodigal son ran home.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ones, though.
And of course, someone's got to mention your children's stories.
Well, we're coming to that. Okay. During the children's story, I asked the children to share memorable children's stories. And when they're done, I'll give adults an opportunity.
No problem.
I think I know which one you're going to share. That's okay. And then I was trying to think if I wanted to have a chair or not, but you may. I'm happy to.
Dad, this is Linda.
Yes.
I will never look at the book of Revelation the same after hearing how you view it. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Brittany Marsh appreciated it because I often ask you questions so that I could give her answers.
All right. Very good. Well, I expect you're going to hear a little more of it again tonight. So stay with us.
It has always been a privilege to call you Pastor Dad. And I'm so glad I don't have to stop because you're not going away. I'm going to find you. And you'll continue to commit to you for always being willing to grow in your faith, to try things that were out of the box, that looked different than anything you saw in church before, and to embrace it and to let your view of God explode and grow over the years. That's all I can get out of.
Dad, can you repeat what Janelle just said? I couldn't really hear. Just give a summary, it's fine.
Yeah, she appreciates that she's always been able to call me Pastor Dad, and that she will even be able to continue to because I'm not going anywhere, and that I've been willing to grow in my faith and how we do church, go outside the box, things like that. Does that pretty well sum it up?
Dad, thanks for teaching me how to live right. I think I'll make it in life because of you. But you're not going away because you're still my granddad. I can still ask you about stuff. Not quitting, just retiring.
You
made everyone cry.
Okay. Thank you, Eliza. Thank you, Eliza. I think you'll make it just fine, too.
I like when you yell, like, hallelujah, praise the Lord!
Does it wake you up sometimes?
Yes!
I was really grateful that I got one more version of Peter coming to tell the resurrection story.
That was
those cool. Were always fun times.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. See, there, but that's what I did last Easter. Yeah. But I'm glad I did. Because I think some of my grandchildren don't remember having seen that before. all of my grandchildren don't remember having seen that before. So it's been a long time since I've done that. Last week, after I made this decision on Facebook, I saw a verse from Isaiah 43:19 or something like that. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Even now it springs forth before you, or whatever the words were. I don't have the exact words, and I didn't look it up to have it here today. And coming here this evening, I remembered when I left Holly Grove that prior to that, I had a very clear word from the Lord that you have a place, I have a place of ministry for you. And while this came quite suddenly and pretty much unexpectedly, I don't have as clear a statement, I've got a place of ministry as what I heard prior to Holly Grove. But I look at that verse, and I believe the Lord still has something for me. And I don't have a clue what it is right now. But that's kind of exciting, because what he has in mind is always what's best and always what we want. So I'm looking forward to experiencing it. Whatever it is. It's probably my phone vibrating there. If it is, at least it's on vibration. My phone. Maybe it's not. All right. Well, I want to share how much I appreciate your support and your faithfulness and participation of the church and my ministry. Your encouragement through the years and even now. And we're still family. We still love the Lord. We're going to continue to live for him. It's steadfast. There's nothing going to shake it. I think we sang that in the song, something similar to those words. And that's what's important to me, is that wherever we go from here, it's with the Lord. And nothing. It's going to come between us and them. All right, let's pray our offertory prayer. Yes. Sure.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I had to go give myself food. I think of all of you as the second family because of where I lost mom and dad. I'm sorry.
You're part of our family, and we love you and appreciate your being part of us. When somebody said something about doing stuff out of the box, let's pray our offertory prayer. I think it's out of the box, or outside of the box. As we receive today's offering, we thank you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anna, you want to pass the basket to me? Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Let's see, anybody want to do a children's story tonight? Thank you. Right. Wow, welcome. I have enjoyed doing children's stories with you. So tonight it's your turn to tell me what your favorite or your most memorable children's story is. Or maybe you have a new one you want to tell us. Okay. I'm glad you love Jesus. Okay.
After that, I will go second. my favorite children's story that you did was when they put all the food dye in the water. And then I still don't exactly know how you did it, but you made it all go away. It was really cool.
The story about the little boy who did lots of evil things, and he said he stole something, and then he told lies, and he got really angry, and he blew his top, and we had a glass, a clear liquid, and then we put food coloring in, and everything he said, and it got darker and darker. Then when he blew his top and got so angry, the liquid just fuzzed up over the top and out the sides onto the tray. And then he went to Sunday school and he prayed and he asked God's forgiveness. God's liquid, Jesus' liquid grace was poured into his life. All the sin went away. The liquid was clear again. Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot too. I did that one more than once.
I like the apple.
The apple pie. Okay, the apple and the apple pour one. Talked about God being what? Remember what the meaning of it was?
It's not that one.
No, not that one.
It's a story.
Yeah. Where the apple was on the tree. He didn't want to fall.
Okay.
But the old apple said, but if you fall, then you can create a new tree. Yeah.
Yes, if you fall, you create a new tree. Okay, great.
I like the one about the golden
Was that the one where Jesus came to the barbershop that day?
No, he saw the guy outside that his hair was all long, and so the guy was like,
okay.
I don't think there's any barber shops.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't believe in God. And this other guy came back and said, well, I don't believe in barbers because there's a guy with all straggly hair. Well, he didn't come to me. He didn't come to God. Okay, yes, thank you. Yeah, it's pretty good when you remember that I don't.
Yeah, I draw pictures in my notebook about what children's stories and I remember them. I like the one where you hit the water
and you got all wet.
Yeah, I think so.
That one was the best.
And how did the egg not crack? That's the ball they said. How didn't it not break it?
That must have been a God thing.
I like the one where you just saw it. That's the big one. And then it was after
the egg on the tree.
And then I got the tree because it was out of
trick.
I also like the one where you put water and oil in a cup and you shook it and the water would separate. Maybe you gave me that and I had that. I kept
thinking, okay. Yes.
I have a snack. You have a snack?
Okay.
Good for you.
Nice.
I have pot pie.
Okay. That's great.
And Tim's going.
Well, I have to tell you that I've done children's stories as long as I've pastored. Every church I went to, I did children's stories. And I always enjoyed them. Lots of them. There's some I remember and there's some I don't. But I always enjoyed doing them. It was felt like the children and even the adults enjoyed them and got a lot out of them. So I'll open it up to adults. The children pretty much each shared. You're not obligated to, but if there's one in particular you remember or you have another one. The chicken?
Chicken.
Yeah. Where there was a prairie fire and a prairie hen and her little chicks underneath her and she died, but her chicks were saved. And that's how Jesus protects us, isn't it?
Well, I think we're all due for a laugh.
Yeah, we haven't done that.
I want to laugh. I don't want to cry. I want to laugh.
Okay. Listen to the Lord.
Everyone in the Sheets family will never, ever forget how important it is to be content with the job that God has given you to do, or else you'll all die.
What?
These animals had their own specific job.
What?
Based on their own strengths. And they were like, man, that job looks really easy. I wish I could do that. And so they all traded jobs and they all died because they weren't doing the job that they were supposed to do.
And so the moral of that story was use the gifts that God's given you and be grateful for them.
Yeah.
I told that one at Holly Grove when I was pastoring at Holly Grove. So that was sometime between 1996 and 2002.
Whoa.
So I think some of my children's stories are very memorable.
He didn't repeat that one here.
No, I didn't use that one here.
I always thought your M&M stories were memorable.
Yes, I always loved the M&M stories where I would sit and eat the M&Ms and say, don't you wish you had some?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
And then, do you remember why I did that?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I didn't remember you
because,
did that strategy.
Because we have something that the world wants. We have Jesus, and they want Jesus, and we need to share Jesus with them. And when we don't share Jesus with them, it's like we keep all the M&Ms to ourselves. And then, remember I shared my M&Ms with you? I always did. It's been a while since I did that one, because I'm not eating M&Ms anymore.
But I do.
But you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Dad, can you hear me?
Yes.
I always liked the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. I mean, yes. The three little wolves and the big bad pig.
Right, right. That was about in Oregon. I told that story. I memorized the story of the three little wolves and the big bad pig. And it was quite a story, and it was quite a good bit to memorize. And I did it for a chapel at Fairview. And then I told that story at an adult retreat at Fairview because it was a peace story. It said about living peacefully with people that were different than you. And they made peace with the big bad pig. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad that a bunch of those stories were memorable. Most of them were ones that I had thought about, that I had done and thought you might remember. And a couple of them were new to me again. And that's okay. That's good. I had three folders one time of, they were kind of notebooks, they were small notebooks. I bought them. And it was called Including the Little People of Church. And it was just full of children's stories. It had some really great ones. But somehow when I left Holly Grove, those disappeared. And I don't know. I've looked everywhere for them. Anyway, the internet has helped, and my own coming up with stuff has helped, and the Bible helps. So thank you for participating in those stories over the years. I hope that some of those morals, some of the meanings of those stories stay with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word does not return the way it accomplishes what you set it out for. And so I thank you that in these children, your word has been planted like a seed in fertile ground. And I pray that it will grow and grow to bring forth multiple times the harvest of fruit ready for you, honoring you, giving glory to your name. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Worked in it. That's great. All right. Well, when I knew that last week and this week were our last two services together planned as a congregation, I decided I was going to use two passages that I really enjoy. And last Sunday, we talked about Revelation chapter 1, and it was a vision of the risen Christ. We got a picture of who Jesus is and what he's like and where he is. You remember in Revelation 1 where Jesus showed himself as being? Josiah. You know the stars and the lampstand? A little bit? Okay. And he was standing among them. And do you remember what they represented? What was it? Yes, the churches. Jesus was present in the churches. And so we see Jesus as being present with us because of that passage in Revelation chapter 1. Now, tonight, I want us to jump ahead and talk about heavenly worship. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are letters to seven churches, and there's a lot of good in that, but I don't have 16 weeks, so we're going to jump ahead to chapters 4 and 5. Of Revelation, and this is a discussion of heavenly worship. Revelation chapter 4 begins, "After this I looked." Now, there's something key in this verse. It says, "After this." So that raises the question, after what? Okay? And throughout the book of Revelation, numerous times you're going to hear, "I heard," and there'll be a description of what John hears. And he'll talk about that maybe a little bit. And then he'll say, "And then I turned and looked, and there before me." And it's the same thing, but it's very different. Okay? And so this is one of the first, "I heard," and then after this, "I looked." And so I want to go back now to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus is speaking and he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So this is a verse that we have used, the church has used for as long as I remember and longer for salvation. That Jesus stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And if we will open the door of our heart and welcome him in, he'll come in with us and fellowship with us and eat with us and stay with us. And we will have relationship with him. And I believe that's a good use of this passage. But this is what John heard. He heard an invitation to open the door of his heart to Jesus so Jesus could come in. There's a couple verses in between here and Revelation 4, but I believe Revelation 4, after this I looked, refers back to this statement that I just read about, if you'll open the door, I'll come in, and you'll see why here. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. So he heard, open the door, and I'll come in, and now here's a door open in heaven. And what I think is happening, well, let's go a little bit farther. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So here's what I see. We open the door of our heart and invite Jesus in. And we fellowship together. We build a relationship. We eat together. And then the result is Jesus opens the door in heaven and says, now come up here. I got more for you. That was just the start. Now come into my presence. And I'm opening up the vastness of heaven to you. And I just love that picture. And so this is what's happening. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, remember, last week we decided that was the voice of Jesus. And so Jesus is speaking, well, we know it's Jesus because it's red letters, right? It says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once, I was in the spirit, and there, before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. So John has his first glimpse into heaven. In the spirit, he was there. And before him was a throne with someone sitting on the throne. Who do you think was sitting on the throne? God. And God was so awesome in his appearance that John couldn't describe him other than to say he looked like jewels, jasper, and ruby. Just indescribable beauty was sitting on that throne. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Okay? A rainbow. Remember what the rainbow was for? I'll never flood the earth again. And that promise is encircled around the throne of God that he looks at it all the time. It's always there before him. He will always keep his promises. His promises are dependable. We can count on them. We can stake our lives on them because he honors them. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Now, I envision those 24 other thrones being smaller and maybe not as gaudy as the one in the center, okay? But here's the picture. In the center throne was one that was indescribable. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Now, who in the world are these 24 elders that John saw? Remember, there's symbolism, a great deal of symbolism in the book of Revelation. And that symbolism comes in the form of colors, numbers, animals, different things, stars, okay? And so, 24. What's significant in the Bible about the number 24? Nothing in particular, is there? But how do you come up with 24? 2 times 12. is 24. So what are there 12 of in the Bible? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. Other people call them 12 apostles, but that's the same people. Okay, so I believe that these are 12 thrones, the 12 elders seating on them represent the people of God from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so that would be another way of saying, seated around the throne were all the people of God. Is that too much of a stretch? Rather than a literal 24 people? Certainly representatives of all the people of God, at least. But anyway, they were dressed in white. Who gets dressed in white? Now, if we'd have read the letters to the seven churches, white robes were given to those who overcame in one of the churches. And in another place in Revelation, we read that we're given white robes to wear, white linen. And so these are the redeemed. That's who wears the white robes. And the crowns, we get the crown when we get to heaven. Okay? So that supports, I believe, the idea that these are the people of God that are seated around the throne that John is seeing. And he's talking in a symbolic way. But it's a, just envision the grandeur of the place, the awesomeness of it. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Now, why? Where else in the Bible do you have flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder? I'm sorry?
Start of flood.
Sign of a flood?
Start of the flood.
Start of the flood. Okay. Another place that I'm thinking of is
the crucifixion.
Okay, maybe the crucifixion. I'm thinking of a really high spot in the wilderness. Mount Sinai. And why was there thunder and lightning and peals of thunder coming off the mountain on Mount Sinai? Because God was there. So if you had any doubt at all who was seated on that throne in the middle, that was Jasper and Carnelian, here's your answer. It's God. Okay? In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Now, one of our rules of interpretation of the symbols of Revelation is, if the text defines the symbol, there's nothing to discuss. That's what it is. Okay? So these seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. Now, we talked again last week how that there's one Holy Spirit. And so a better translation might be the sevenfold Spirit of God instead of the seven spirits of God. So with seven attributes or seven forms of character. So it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit is before the throne of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Now, if you ever wondered if there was fishing in heaven, there's a sea. So that's a good first start. Okay, that's my joke for the week. Why is there a sea in front of the throne? Does God want an ocean view? Probably not. In the scripture and in Old Testament times, the sea was a couple of things. For one, early on, it was considered the source of all evil. So how would we have the source of all evil right there in front of God in heaven? But what I believe this represents is the Red Sea. The Red Sea was the entrance to the Promised Land. You went through the Red Sea to get into the Promised Land. And you go through the sea to get into heaven. It could represent baptism. And it just makes a lot of sense to me that this is an entry into heaven. And here's one of the reasons I say that. later in the book we're going to read, and there was no sea. The sea disappears. The entry to heaven disappears. It's not an open door policy for eternity. It's an open door policy until we die. And then the sea disappeared. So we need to enter heaven while we have the opportunity. Don't put it off. Don't wait until it's too late. Because that sea, that entryway, isn't open forever. It's just like the ark. God closed the door. Nobody came in. Nobody went out. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And the eyes can represent wisdom or knowledge or whatever. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. These four living creatures. Well, the lion obviously is England. The eagle is the United States. The ox, I don't know. No, we can't put political entities in here. What I believe that this represents, the creature that looked like a lion is a king of the beasts. So it represents all of untamed nature, all of the wild beasts of the earth. The second was like an ox, domesticated animals, the strongest of all the domesticated animals. The third was the face like a man. Humanity was represented there. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And an eagle would be the greatest of the sky, of the birds. And so what we see in those four, and the number four represents created order, the four points of the compass, four corners of the earth, the word talks about, which would be the four points of the conference, the four seasons. The number four represents created order, or the earth. And so we've got all of created order is around the throne in this picture. So what do we have? We have the people of God. We have God seated on the throne. We have created order, nature, the world, the earth. All of created order is before the throne. They had six wings covered all around with eyes. It's amazing. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And they never stop. They're doing it now. And when we worship, we join them. So join me as we join them. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Woohoo! Yeah! All right. Can you get into it? Can you begin to sense what's going on? And the veil between heaven and earth is so thin. God shines through so many times in so many ways. And so our worship is received along with the worship. I mean, all the people of God, the Old Testament, New Testament people of God are there around the throne. Anyway, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, when is that?
All the time.
All the time. Okay. So we could say all the time, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Yeah. There's just incredible worship going on in heaven around the throne. I always used to think of this as a throne room, but as I look at this description of what's there, and it's going to even get bigger as we go on, I think it's more the throne area than it is the throne room. If it's a throne room, it's a huge coliseum. I mean, it's out of this world big. Maybe it is. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, this is the 24 elders. Take those crowns and lay them before the throne. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You are worthy, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know what's interesting? Just a little aside. This is worshiping God for creation. In chapter 4, God is worship for creation. That's the first part of this heavenly worship. And here we see it, to receive glory and honor and power. Three items. Why would God be worshipped and glorified with three items, not four or five or six? Three. Because of the Trinity. We worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We worship you, God, in your entirety, with all of our entirety. We give you everything we have. We take these crowns that you've given us. It's all we have, and we give it. Laid before you, and we bow down and we worship you. We need to get into our worship more than just mouthing the words to a song on a Sunday night. It needs to come from our hearts. It needs to be done with passion, as if we really love him, because he's made a difference in our lives. And he has, I hope. Then I saw, this is a chapter break into chapter 5. Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" What's the scroll? What's written in that scroll that is sealed with seven seals that's written on the front and the back? Well, scholars come up with three ideas. One is that it's the Old Testament. Another is that it's the calendar of events of what's coming to the end of time. And the third one is that it's God's plan of salvation. And I lean toward the third. And as you go through the book, you'll see what I'm talking about. And when we see who and how it's opened, that might add to it too, to why I feel the way I do. So who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one, you see that? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. If it's the plan of salvation, that's a sad state of affairs. We can't even look in it. We certainly can't receive it and embrace it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. How tragic. If no one could open God's plan of salvation, if God had a plan to save the world and it was locked up in a scroll with seven seals and nobody could open it, what good would it do? one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. The answer to the question in church is always Jesus. Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Rawr! Right? The Root of David. And he's triumphed. Yeah. Might makes right. Power of the fittest. Yeah. Well, that's what it reads like. That's what we're expecting at the second coming, isn't it? Lion's coming back. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw, remember, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep." He heard the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. Then I saw, he turned and he looked. And what did he see? He saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what it was described as. But then I saw a lamb. A lamb looking as if it had been slain. A dead sheep, baby sheep. Anything but a lion. He saw the Lamb of God that was chosen before the foundation of the world to take away the sin of the world. He saw the Lamb looking as though it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. Well, wait a minute. Dead lambs don't stand. Right? It looked like it had been slain. But it was alive. It was standing in the center of the throne. Jesus is alive is the proclamation that John is making, and the church heard it loud and clear. We need to hear it loud and clear. Jesus is alive. Our Savior lives and reigns. He stands in the middle of the throne. Encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Okay, those horns and those eyes. It's the Spirit of God. It's all over this risen Lamb. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. If you thought standing wasn't enough to prove he was alive, he moved. He reached out and took the scroll from the hand of God. And when he had taken it, four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. If you ever think your prayers go to the ceiling and come back down, they don't. They go to heaven, and they're put in bowls of incense that are raised before God, before Jesus at the throne. That's where our prayers go. If you ever have trouble being motivated to prayer, remember, your prayers count. Your prayers are a golden offering of incense to the Lord. They're a sweet fragrance to him, a sacrifice that he loves and enjoys. And they sang a new song. Now, I want you to know, I believe that when Jesus returns at his second coming, he's coming as a lamb. as a triumphing lamb who has conquered sin and death. If he came as a lion to rip and tear and destroy, that's using Satan's tactics. God's a God of love. He's a God of peace. Read on in the book and look at what Revelation really says about the Battle of Armageddon. I'm going to give you, this is a spoiler alert, so if you don't want to know what's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon, plug your ears so you don't hear what I'm about to say. Scripture says that these armies from all the from those countries line up for war, and Jesus shows up on the mountain, and God says, "It is done. It's over. That's the war. It's done. Everybody out of the pool. You know, time to go home. Come on, kids. Come with me." That's it. That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's what the book says. But anyway, that's a spoiler. So I'll come back to the subject. But it's a lamb. In the next chapter, when we get to the fourth seal, and everything's falling down on the people, and they cry out in anguish because of the wrath of the lamb. What kind of wrath does a lamb need out? No, here comes the wrath of this lamb. Meh, meh. You know, that's a lamb. But the presence of Jesus is like wrath and destruction to the unsaved. The voice of praise to our God destroys Satan. Going to crush Satan under our feet. As we dance and praise to God, Satan is crushed under our feet. We don't need to use the ways of the world. We don't need to use violence to destroy evil. We use love and joy and peace. And God reigns supreme. Jesus gave his life to defeat Satan and win. So these 24 elders and living creatures fall down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, here's the new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. At the time this was written, Rome was ruling on the earth, and to the church it certainly seemed that Satan was ruling supreme because of the persecution they were experiencing. Much like I expect the church in Ukraine feels right now. But John is proclaiming that God's people will reign on the earth. And another spoiler alert. When you read the book, there's a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is coming down to the new heaven, the new earth. It's as though heaven is here. I'll leave it at that. I can't preach the whole book tonight, although I'd like to. So, you're safe. We're going home after it. So this is what Jesus did. And how did he make us a kingdom and priests to serve our God? By paying for our salvation. By opening the plan of God's salvation for us. And this is why I believe that that scroll is God's plan of salvation. It's opened up for us so that we can participate in it and experience salvation ourselves. Wow. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands. And 10,000 times 10,000. They encircle the throne and living creatures and the elders. Now, numbers again. 1,000 was a huge number. And if you multiply it by itself, that meant infinity. That meant all of them. But if you take 10 times the most you can think of, times 10 times the most you can think of, I mean, that's all of them. Every last one of them, them angels, and a number that's beyond count, encircle the throne of the living creatures and the elders. That's why I say, this is more than a throne room. This is a throne area. And they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Join in. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah. Oh. He was to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, praise. Chapter 4, there were 3. Now there's 7. Jesus received complete praise. Perfect praise. All the praise we have. Everything we have to give to Jesus, we give to Jesus. We hold nothing back. We lay our crowns before him. We give him all of our adoration and our praise. Why? Because he is worthy. He's worthy. Then I heard, listen to this, every creature in heaven and on under and on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them. Every creature. Philippians 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John heard. What does this sound like? We've got all the angels, we've got the 4 living creatures, we've got the 24 elders, and now we've got everything that's created saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. They didn't stop. We just stopped. When we worship, we take part in this cacophony of praise and adoration that raises before the Father. We're part of that. We're part of that. Everything on the earth participates. Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing. The 4 living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So what will we do? Let's fall down and worship. Yeah. I think you can see that I love this book and why I love this book. You have a benediction you wanted to share? Yeah, I guess I should pray first, but you can hear. Okay. Father, I thank you that you didn't just leave us here alone on this planet, spinning around the sun for no purpose. that you created us to worship you. And you paid the price for our salvation so that we could. Father, I thank you for these faithful ones who love you. And I pray that from the bottom of their hearts, they will love you, serve you, worship you every day of their lives. And that their relationship with you will become so intimate and so powerful that they just can't keep it to themselves. But they got to tell people they need how awesome you are by the way they live, by the words they say. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being faithful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, our guide, and our help. We look to you for strength and encouragement every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, as we leave this place of worship, may we go knowing that you never leave or forsake us. Help us to go with the song of faith in our hearts, the peace of Christ in our lives, the protection of the Spirit beside us, and the security of your presence beneath us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you with an awesome life. Thanks, Linda and Phil, for being here.
We wish we could come over to the house for refreshments or whatever, but.
Yeah, we'd be happy to reach out and give you some. So I have to send you $5 so you can buy some and celebrate.
There we go.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
Participation, your support, encouragement.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Love you.
Bless you.
You better preach for me sometime.
Preach what?
Preach for me
sometime. Okay.
Sometime again.
Okay. I'd like to do that.